This is Wisconsin Public Radio, where it's time for the weekly glimpse at the arts and culture of Western Wisconsin within a near hour known as Spectrum West. I'm Al Ross, and here's what's on the stove for today. Last week was Adult Crossing Guard Week in Wisconsin. We're going to meet one of the colorful individuals who assume that position twice daily through all kinds of hardship, natural and man-made. Rosie's here, along with an admirer. Saturday marks the presentation of the Eau Claire Chamber Orchestra's favorite concert of the year, and yours as well. It's the concert for families and friends. The free performance designed to stimulate interest in music. Some of the youngest audience members, musical director Frank Watkins, calls in and has what we all need to know. Jim Oliver's back in his usual double duty of letting us know what's on stage in Western Wisconsin. And then this week, he gets a first-hand look at the background of and the show being presented by the Black Dirt Theater Company, coming to the Widespot PAC in Stockholm. And this is where the good ship Spectrum sails. You know, we mention most every week some of what's happening at the Phipps Center for the Arts in Hudson. There's a reason for that. There's so very much happening at the Phipps. Constantly, consistently, and concurrently at this Western Wisconsin embodiment of what it means to engage, entertain, and educate. Well, guess what? There's a lot going on and coming up at the Phipps Center right now. And one guy who has his finger on the rapid, healthy pulse of the place is Executive Director John Potter, with whom I spoke earlier this week. I like whenever I get a chance to chat with you, John, to enlighten people about the Phipps itself. We've mentioned a bit of the history before, but I'm not sure that we've ever identified the Mr. Phipps and talked about him as a benefactor or lover of the arts. It's William H. Phipps Foundation, but his son is the one who actually founded it in his honor.
No.
No.
But
ah,
Stephen was his sole heir. Stephen did not have any children. He left his fortune to the community in the form of a foundation, which he named after his father.
Okay.
The directors of the foundation were supporters of the St. Croix Valley Arts Guild. The Phipps Center was built as a home for the guild, and then the guild and the center merged.
Oh.
So the center isn't necessarily named after Stephen or William, but is in recognition of the large contribution made and continued to be made by the William H. Phipps Foundation.
Okay. And the Phipps name has been supporting the city of Hudson since 1946, I read.
In many ways, from the hospital to senior housing to high school scholarships, the foundation has made many, many, many contributions to the community.
Let's talk about your physical plant. Is it true that the transition began back in 83? I thought I saw that you were in an Elks building.
Well, the Elks building was purchased and then essentially gutted. The theater was built adjacent to the Elks Club, and they were wrapped together by a lobby. And that the Phipps Center opened in 1983, and then in 1993, we literally doubled in size to the north, and then we reconfigured the front entrance. So the Phipps Center still includes the old Elks Club building, but it has been dwarfed by the facility now.
And the Board of Directors, the Foundation Board, meets only twice a year.
The Phipps Foundation and the Phipps Center have two separate board of directors.
Okay.
The Phipps Center annually applies to the foundation for funding.
I read that they're pretty shrewd in their investments. They direct investments, and the foundation continues to evolve even today as needs of the community evolve.
Yes.
Or evolve.
I have little or no knowledge of their investments, but I do know that they certainly, as most foundations do, take a portion of their earnings and reinvest.
Well, I read somewhere that they do pretty well in the stock market. So
I certainly hope so.
That's interesting. Well, you know, the community of Hudson, it's not the biggest of metropolises or what would be the plural? Metropoli, maybe? I don't know.
You got me.
But it continues, as you said earlier, to thrive thanks to the vision of people like Mr. Phipps.
Indeed.
Are there Phipps family members around town at all yet?
There are not.
There are not. Because I understand that Mr. Phipps actually moved out west. Profits from logging in Washington to the Hudson area. They loved Hudson.
I never knew Stephen, but Stephen followed in his father's footsteps and then went out to Washington State and still maintained a home here and, in fact, came back to Hudson eventually. Of course, there's the Phipps Inn, which is the Stephen Phipps home, which has now been made into a bed and breakfast.
Oh, that's cool stuff. John Potter on the phone with us. He is, of course, the executive director of the Phipps Center for the Arts. So, John, let's see what's going on there, and it's always a lot. Let's go down the laundry list here. The Phipps Dance Theater has performances coming up.
Very excited about that. The dance theater developed here over the years and primarily performs at the center, but last year we rented out the Southern Theater in Minneapolis and had a weekend of performances there. And this year, the Southern has invited us back and is actually presenting the company.
Mm.
So those performances will be held January 26th through 29th, Thursday through Sunday. And we're very, very excited about it. The show is called Blackbird, and it's a tribute to Bob Fosse, which has really become their specialty, I would say, is that style of jazz dance.
The well-known choreographer, Bob Fosse.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Yeah, okay. So, theater classes for young people and, kind of along the same vein, auditions for an upcoming play with a familiar name.
The theater classes are offered on a quarterly basis, and we also offer summer art camps.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Fraser is a very well-known instructor and actor in the Twin Cities and has worked just about every major theater in the Twin Cities. He's offered classes here for years and years. During the school year, we offer classes for students in grades 1 through 6. And then in the summer, we mix that up a little bit and include middle school students in one of our camps. But he's just a great instructor, always very, very popular. And in fact, after his winter classes, this summer he'll be coming back for a 2-week intensive workshop using Beauty and the Beast as the text, and then there'll be a production of that in the summer.
Right.
And then we just had auditions for Stepping Out, a really fun show that is about a misfit group of tap dancers taking a class, and they all have their issues, and they're also all very sweet in their own way. The moral, if you will, or the theme is that it's not so much whether you become a great tap dancer, but if you show up and you take on your own individual challenges and you do the best you can. So it's a fun, very funny, but also a very sweet show.
And then you have an upcoming play with a familiar name and a character, one associated with tonsorial measures.
Tonsorial measures.
Doesn't Rapunzel have long hair?
Oh, goodness. And I was looking at Peter Pan.
So I'm doing the Rapunzel thing, which is...
Rapunzel is coming up this spring, and we're holding auditions.
Oh, that's auditions in February.
Yes. Open to students in grades 7 through 9.
Okay.
The vast majority of our auditions are open to the general public. In the case of both our community theater and our children's theater, folks audition from all over the St. Croix Valley, Stillwater, Maplewood, St. Paul, Woodbury. We've had folks come from Eau Claire that have been in shows here, and so that's a trek. Really is a wide, wide swath. So when I say the valley, I'm very liberal.
Yes, no kidding. Big Valley is what it is, yeah. So, yeah, I'm looking at your release here, and Rapunzel must be a pretty large undertaking because I see that the performances begin at near the end of April, but rehearsals begin the beginning of March. So
here's
that's
the challenge that we have.
Wow.
There are multiple spring breaks that the schools have, and, of course, none of them are the same. So, again, we're drawing from multiple communities, all of which have different one-week spring breaks.
Wow, yeah, you got to work around a lot of stuff. So
we
now,
do.
things that we can mention. There's experiencing clay. There's a class about that. There's yoga classes. Let's talk about that classic tale that plays in February.
Are we talking about Peter Pan?
We are, yes. Peter Pan, yes. That one.
So the Phipps Children's Theater is presenting Peter Pan, and it features area students in grades 10 through 12. This is a musical adaptation that was developed by the Children's Theater of Minneapolis. It has all of the elements of the original story, with perhaps the twist that in this case, Tiger Lily is not a Native American, but in fact a panther creature, as are her sisters. They are shapeshifters who primarily take the form of panthers. So that's a fun twist to it. Just a great story. Odd little story, but this is very funny. It's also very moving. And of course we'll be flying Peter and the darling children.
There you go. Well, as long as Peter Pan flies, then I'm okay with everything. So you have my stamp of approval on making those changes.
Thank you for that.
Yes. And let's not forget visual arts, because Anastasia Charton does such a wonderful job in that capacity at the Phipps. In the gallery there are some ceramics I was reading about.
You know, we have a wonderful relationship with the Northern Clay Center. We feature St. Croix Valley artists throughout the year in our atrium gallery, and right now we have Lisa Buck, some beautiful work in there right now, and we've been doing that for three years.
Also included in the gallery, fibers, prints, and mixed media drawings, all on display through February 19th. And as I said, Anastasia does a wonderful job of keeping that up and running and giving us all a wonderful variety. Kudos to her as well.
Anastasia is our visual arts director and has the Visual Arts Council, which is a group of volunteers quite dedicated to our programming. They select the artists with an annual call, and they also do the installation of the shows as well. So we have a wonderful group of volunteers that support Anastasia and her endeavors.
Yeah, I think our audience has heard the kind of involvement you guys have at the Phipps, so it would make sense for me to just say, John, get back to work.
Thank you, Al.
Take care.
And you.
The website, and you may get winded just reading about all they do at the Phipps Center for the Arts in Hudson, is thephipps, that's PHIPPS.org. John Potter and staff, thanks for all you do as a major contributor to our big, beautiful arts playground of Western Wisconsin. The Life of a Crossing Guard. Saturday, your family will hear an echo and more yet to come on Spectrum West. Support for WPR comes from Marshfield Clinic. In 1916, six physicians formed a group practice and named it after the community. 100 years later, Marshfield Clinic is proud to be serving the healthcare needs of Wisconsin for generations. MarshfieldClinic.org. Support also comes from Marquardt Toyota, offering the all-wheel drive Highlander, an SUV committed to reliability. Marquardt Toyota is located off Highway 53 between Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls, or at MarquardtToyota.com. Here's a Spectrum memo. The Brass Barn Polka Band hits the stage at the Heidi Center in Chippewa Falls Saturday night at 7:30. They're from the Twin Cities, and they say dancing is strongly encouraged. You can check them out online at brassbarnpolka.com, and tickets are at cvca.net, on the internet, by phone at 726-9000. Well, if you're going to have an improv troupe, and the process of coming up with a name is improvisation in itself, then the name Black Dirt Theater Company shouldn't surprise anyone. Here's Jim Oliver.
The Black Dirt Theater of Hastings, Minnesota will present an evening of improv Saturday night at the Wide Spot Performing Arts Center in Stockholm. Joining us by telephone to talk about the Black Dirt Theater and to enlighten us about this thing called improv is Robin Starch, one of the founders, a member of the board of directors, and the artistic director of the Black Dirt Theater. Well, thank you for coming on with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Well, tell us about the Black Dirt Theater.
Well, we're a community theater based in Hastings, Minnesota, and we've been around for about 7 years. Our improv troupe is in its fifth year of existence. It started off with just six people, and now we've increased to having two improv teams, one which is a drop-in learning class that practices on Wednesday nights, and then the other one which is a performing group that practices on Thursday nights, and then they have a show that sometimes travels around to other places. Mm-hmm. And we have many talented improv artists that are on that team who've performed at places like Comedy Sports, huge improv in Minneapolis. So it's a great opportunity to get a bunch of artists together who all like to make up theater on the spot.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we get on to the improv itself, getting back to the theater, how is it governed? Do you have a board of directors, or how does that work?
Oh, yes. We have a board that has about nine people who are volunteers to kind of help us with the ticketing and organizing and structuring what it is that we offer with Black Dirt Theater. So we basically have four stage shows a year and season tickets, or people can just purchase the tickets individually. And then we have an improv troupe, which basically performs and practices from January up until the end of April.
So I have to ask, where did the name Black Dirt Theater come from?
Well, one of the founders and I, when we were talking about wanting to start a community theater in Hastings, we have a rich community of artists in town, and theater has many different behind-the-scenes magic that happens, the audience piece that happens, and then the performer piece that happens. And so what we wanted to talk about, what makes things grow in rich, thick, black dirt soil. Uh-huh. We have a lot of farm community in Hastings. Black dirt is what makes things grow. And so that's kind of where we came from. Our logo is a tree, you know, because our hope is that we're going to sprout off, and there's different branches of what we offer, because we offer outreach and education, where there's touring groups that go and perform in some of the residential elderly homes that are in Hastings and surrounding communities. We have outreach and education where there's classes for kids to be involved both in the summer and during the year. And so there's lots of branches to what we offer. So that's kind of where Black Dirt Theater came from. We want to be able to create things that are going to grow and empower people to be able to learn new skills and perform in many pieces of the arts, whether it's the visual arts, the performing arts, the improv, lots of things.
Where do you perform? Do you have your own facility?
We do not. There are lots of beautiful spaces in Hastings, and so there's a great auditorium that seats about 1,000, and that's where we do our summer musical, which usually involves a cast anywhere from 70 to 120. And then we usually have a pit orchestra, which is anywhere from 15 to 50. Then during the year, it just kind of depends. There's a lovely space called the Performing Arts Center in Hastings. It's the old Guardian Angels Church, and that has a lovely stage. So that's where our improv team performs. Usually the second Friday of every month, we perform our improv in that space. Then we have a found space where one of our shows will be either in the courthouse or the historic LeDuc Mansion, or in a park, depending on what show that we pick. So lots of opportunities because we're rich with what we have in town. We don't have the need to have our own space. We kind of do found spaces depending on the show. There's also a middle school that has a seat 600, and that's a great space to perform in as well. And then Rivertown Days, there's open-air opportunities, and we have a lovely pavilion. We have an office that's located on 213 Sibley Street, and there is a rehearsal space where we practice things, but then either a month to 2 weeks before, we move into our found space for the presentation. Currently, we have On Golden Pond going on, and that's in the upstairs banquet room of a community restaurant in town. So it just depends on the show.
She is Robin Starch, who is a founder and artistic director of the Black Dirt Theater Company of Hastings. Where do you attract your directors? Do you have in-house directors that you use? Do you hire people to come in, or how does that go?
You know, our goal is to be able to mentor, reach out, and give opportunities for people to learn. So depending on the show, we'll have an outside guest artist come in and share their talents so that actors and people get to learn and be mentored by a professional. who has lots of things to share. But then we have things like the 24-hour play challenge, where we give people an opportunity to write a 10-minute one-act play, and we have writers who've maybe never written before come in and write a show, and then the actors come, and people who want to learn how to direct come in and direct the show. And so once people have participated in the little pieces of bite-sized fun, like directing or writing, they oftentimes have the mentoring and the walk-along working with people to be able to direct on their own. So it really depends on the show. Guest artists come in, share their talents, and after experiencing learning from different voices, people get ready and say, hey, I'd like to direct. And so we're always talking with our community about who's interested in doing what, and then we plan our season around what the community wants and what the community needs.
Are you able to draw on a pretty good group of actors to audition for your shows?
Yep. Like I mentioned before, our musicals have anywhere from 70 to 120 people in the cast, because in musicals, you can be a part of, like, the street scene in New York, in Annie, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can also be an orphan, and you can also be in the shanty town of Hooverville. And that gives three great production numbers that someone can be a part of, but you only need to rehearse twice a week and then be available for performances. So it's really pretty flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives people an opportunity to, oh, I just want a little bit of time, or I want a full 5 days a week rehearsal commitment. So we get people from Hastings, but we also get people from the Prescott area. We get people from, I've had a few people from Hudson and people from Minneapolis. You know, anywhere from like 50 miles away come to be a part of what we do to 3 miles away.
Hmm. Now we will get finally to this whole business of improv, which was what we were supposed to be talking about to begin with. Give us an idea of what happens after the group hits the stage.
Well, if you've ever seen the TV show Whose Line Is It Anyway,
mm-hmm.
or if you are someone who's experienced improv, like we offer in the Twin Cities, Huge Theater does improv shows. There's also a group called Comedy Sports. It's basically where actors are on stage. They ask audience to give them a scenario, and the actors get to create the who, the what, the where through the scene off of the scenario that was suggested by the audience. So there's structures of theater games that you can do to make this happen, but for the most part, the scene is made up on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And so for our troupe, they get classes and practice doing different characters. They get practice in telling a story. How do you share the best who, what, where, when in a brief amount of time? And then basically just keep it natural and improvised on the spot. Number one rule in improv is say yes and. Don't negate anything, but to just say yes and go with it and see where the story unfolds.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what makes it fun, is that the audience gets to participate a little bit in giving suggestions about the scenes. Sometimes we might ask for a volunteer or two, but for the most part, for the audience, it's curiosity to say, oh my gosh, how are they going to make a story out of an elephant and shoe, if that might be the prompt that's given. Or
right.
We take a genre and say, what's your favorite movie genre? And we'll create a movie doing a Western genre, and then we rewind it and we do that same movie in a science fiction genre. And that's where some of the comedy comes in.
Uh-huh. All right, just for the sake of being irritating, what happens if you have a really dead audience?
The people that we have kind of emceeing the whole thing do a great job of warming up the audience. I would say that the person who's kind of leading things is like a master's of ceremony who is a master of all. And so we have two people who've been doing improv for a long time, and they just do a really great job of pulling answers and getting the audience to be a part of and giggle and respond in a way that's really, we haven't had a problem of, you know, crickets chirping in the audience. Everyone seems to be interactive and curious as to, all right, how are they going to make this work? If anything, we have audiences that want to stump us.
Oh,
well. And that's where some of the fun suggestions.
Uh-huh.
Also, we work from the top of the intelligence. I mean, we ask questions that pull from, you know, people's knowledge of history and people's knowledge of pop culture and people's knowledge of just everyday things. And from there, we can create something that's fun.
What does the director do? He or she, is this the person who is sort of the MC, or how does that, how does the director fall into this?
Well, they're just kind of like the main navigator, but the whole group in itself, they kind of direct each other and respond off of each other. So half of my team is experienced improvers who've been doing it since we started 5 years ago. And then the other half are new to Hastings and our team, but yet have had some experience. I have two people who've never done it before, but they came and they saw the shows. They were like, hey, you know what? We've been watching. I think I could get up there and do that. And so they're giving it a try, which is what we like to do at Black Dirt Theater, provide opportunities for people to give, you know, expression and art a try. And improv is a great way to get started with that.
Are you going to be in the troupe that's going to be at the White Spot in Stockholm?
Yes. It should be fun and exciting. Whenever you have a new audience, it's great because they keep us on our toes. We don't know what they're going to suggest and what the show is going to be like, but it's always exciting to share and see what happens. There's really great performances that happen at that venue.
Well, we've been visiting with Robin Starch, who is a founder and is currently the artistic director of the Black Dirt Theater of Hastings. The Black Dirt Improv Group will perform Saturday evening at the Wide Spot Performing Arts Center in Stockholm. For ticket information, you can go to widespotperformingarts.org. Robin, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. We look forward to playing and having fun with the crowd that joins us at White Spot.
And thank you, as usual, Jim Oliver. This is Spectrum West on Wisconsin Public Radio. Here's a Spectrum memo. Tonight, Thursday, it's the Winter Dance Party, the tribute to Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, and Richie Valens, 7:30, State Theater in Eau Claire. EauClaireArts.com is the website there. Rosie the Riveter has nothing on Rosie the Crossing Guard. You'll meet her in a bit. But first, one of the most anticipated music concerts of each year is when the Eau Claire Chamber Orchestra bypasses the ticket booth and welcomes families and friends for free to enjoy a concert created and intended for the young and the young at heart. We have a look at Saturday's concert via a phone conversation with Chamber Orchestra Musical Director Frank Watkins. Well, your education played out on the piano, I saw, and then you received a second master's degree and subsequent doctorate in choral conducting. Was the choral part always part of your plan, or did it kind of sneak up on you?
It kind of snuck up on me. When I finished my master's in piano at the University of Arkansas, I decided to take a teaching job, high school teaching job in Texas, and it was there teaching choir that I fell in love with the art of conducting and really figured out how music can shape and change lives. And I knew then that I wanted to go back to school to further my education and to really kind of devote my life to conducting and teaching.
You've appeared in the past with university choral groups, performing with orchestras, the Master Singers concerts, and more. You're a busy guy, but one of my favorite analogies is comparing busy people with full containers, marveling that it's usually the full containers that always find room for more. So when did it become clear that taking over the chamber orchestra was a strong possibility, and how much of an internal debate went on inside about whether or not this was something you wanted to tackle?
You know, when I heard about the opportunity, I really kind of jumped at it. I thought that would be really awesome just to expand not only my horizons, but to really bring forth a different atmosphere to this community. There was a little internal debate. I thought about, you know, can I handle this and something else? But I think when it comes down to being passionate about what you do, like you said, you make time for those things, and chamber music has always been a love of mine. Orchestral music has been a love of mine since I was young. I was a bassoon player, majored in bassoon, and had a full scholarship for all 4 years of college. So being an instrumentalist and working in the symphonic setting has been part of my pedigree, if you will. So when this opportunity opened up, I knew I had to apply for it.
Okay, yeah, well, we're glad you did. Has the chamber orchestra changed at all since Frank Watkins assumed the baton?
I think eventually we will see if it has changed. You know, I think it's still relatively new, and I'm new to them, and we're learning each other.
Well, you talked about it being involved with the community in some quotes that I read.
Yes, I want to further that relationship, really nurture that relationship, really be part of the community.
Yeah. How about vice versa? Has Frank Watkins changed since you assumed the chamber orchestra baton? I'm guessing maybe a little bit, and in what ways might those be?
I think it's made me realize how important it is to be really organized and meticulous about details.
Uh-huh.
I'm already pretty high maintenance, if you will, about details, but it's made me even more aware of communication and how effective communication and planning can make everything happen.
How is the thinking and doing different between handling a choral group or a chamber orchestra? Or is there a noticeable difference between standing in front of a choral group and standing in front of an orchestra?
I don't believe so. I think conducting is conducting. And, you know, our job is to convey the interpretation of the music as best as we can, you know, with our hands. So, no, I think standing in front of any medium, whether it be orchestral or choral or even a wind band, is all about conveying the music to the best of your ability.
I love looking at faces of people singing, especially those who are really into it. You can tell that they're...
You can tell that they love it.
Yeah. We're talking with Dr. Frank Watkins, musical director of the Eau Claire Chamber Orchestra, and they have a concert coming up 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon. It's the Concert for Family and Friends. It's at Grace Lutheran Church in Eau Claire. So on to Saturday's concert. This is where things get fun on a different level. This is where you just may ignite a pilot light in some young people leading to their love of music. Do you think about that noble possibility with this concert? Do you look at those young people and say, you know what, in 10 years, who knows?
I do. I think, you know, it's so important to expose children to classical music at a young age, to get them excited about making music, because you make those connections from a young age, it will follow them throughout their lives. So I think a concert such as this is so much fun. I am probably more excited about this concert than any other concert because I get to interact with the young people. And I think our young musicians are really our future. I mean, they will be the next ones in line to continue this great tradition.
Yeah. Of all the things that young people, and I mean real young people, elementary age kids respond to in the educational process, music is probably one of the more natural and instant, isn't it?
Oh, agree. Completely, 100%.
So let's talk about the repertoire for the concert. You have some things by whom? Haydn? You have Mozart?
Yeah, we have Haydn and Mozart. It's primarily the concert.
Mm-hmm.
We chose these pieces because, you know, most of the times kids can recognize these or have heard them, you know, whether it be in their classrooms or even on the toys that parents buy for their babies, you know, to soothe them. So these hopefully should be familiar tunes that can easily be recognized by the ear. In addition to the pieces we're playing, we have a great narrator, Wanda Miller, who will narrate about the orchestra and introduce us to all the different families in the orchestra. So it'll be a chance for students to kind of get up close and personal and learn about classical music and how the Eau Claire Chamber Orchestra works and operates.
There really is never a too young to expose a child to music, is there?
Absolutely not. Absolutely. I mean, I think we're born into music. Oftentimes you see women who are still pregnant, they have headphones on and they're playing music to the fetus. I mean, I think music is a part of our culture, and I think it's important to continue that tradition from childhood through adulthood.
Mm-hmm. Let's touch on a couple or a few of the amenities that are part of Saturday's afternoon concert. Kids, I read, are going to have the opportunity to conduct the orchestra. How does that happen?
That's correct. We are planning on making this a very kid-friendly and a tangible concert. So students will have opportunity to create crafts and make their own instrument.
Mm.
And then at the end of the concert, they will actually get to come to the front of the stage and conduct the orchestra as they play Mozart. So just really wanted to have a chance for students to really be involved in the concert.
Wow. I think the cell phones set on video is going to be something that's going to be real noticeable on Saturday afternoon.
We encourage that.
Yeah. Well, I would hope so. They're also going to be able to sort of meander through and talk to and meet and touch the actual instruments of the people.
Yeah, we'll have our instrumental petting zoo. So right after the concert, students have an opportunity to come up and meet orchestral members and actually play the instruments and learn about how the instrument produces sounds and how it contributes to the orchestra. So that'll be at the end of the concert.
Wow.
They can come early and get their face painted and play with some crafts, and then the concert will begin, and there'll be time afterwards to also interact with different crafts and activities and also play with the instruments.
Okay. So the concert's at 2 o'clock. Show up by 1:30 and you'll have a lot of opportunities, or even earlier?
We'll show about 1:45 or so, and then we'll have about 30 minutes. We'll start the concert about 2:15, the actual playing part of the concert.
Okay.
There's time for families to come and be involved.
Uh-huh. One of the real amenities of this concert is that it does not cost a nickel.
It does not. It is free and open to the families, to the public. So we ask that you just come and bring your little ones and just enjoy a free concert, you know, as our way to really reach back and give back to the community.
You bet. Well, Dr. Watkins, thanks for being with us. Congratulations on the appointment to musical directorship of the Eau Claire Chamber Orchestra, and all the best going forward.
Thank you so much.
The Mozart Symphony featured is number 6, which, by the way, he composed at the ripe old age of 11. Wow. 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon, Grace Lutheran Church, Eau Claire. That's on Grand Avenue. Just going to tell you where to get tickets, but you don't need any. This concert's free. It's fun. And it's family. To learn more about the Chamber Guys, the website is eccochambermusic.org. Spectrum West, on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Support for WPR comes from Mayo Clinic Health System, helping people with seizure disorders get answers and solutions in the new hospital-based epilepsy monitoring unit in Eau Claire. More information is at mayoclinichealthsystem.org. Some stages in West Wisconsin are busy or about to be, and with those details, once again, here's Jim Oliver.
Thanks, Al. James and the Giant Peach will be presented by the Eau Claire Children's Theater February 3rd, 4th, and 5th at the State Theater in Eau Claire. The Children's Theater's annual dinner theater mystery production of It's a Murder, Don't You Know? A Killer Office Party will be presented Friday at the Oxford Theater. All other performances are sold out. The Black Dirt Theater of Hastings will present an evening of improv Saturday at the Wide Spot Performing Arts Center of Stockholm. The Old Gem Theater of New Richmond will present Little Red Riding Hood for the public at 10:30 a.m. Saturday. The show will be available for student audiences weekdays through February 24th. On Saturday, the Northern Lake Center for the Arts in Amory, an evening of poems and songs by Robert Burns. In Stitches, a theatrical concert created and directed by Casey Jean Tennell, will be performed Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Phipps Center for the Arts in Hudson. And Seen and Heard Productions of Fall Creek will hold auditions for its spring production of Jesus, Son of God at 7 p.m. Monday at the Seen and Heard Productions Costume Shop, 323 Dewey Street in Eau Claire. Performances are scheduled for April 13th and the 14th. For Spectrum West, I'm Jim Oliver.
Spectrum West, all about the arts and culture of Western Wisconsin. One definition of culture is a way of life, every day, who we are, our comings and goings. And every weekday, from September through early June, young people are coming and going to school. On that route, at designated intersections and crosswalks, stand adult crossing guards, often overlooked and taken for granted individuals who protect next generations. Well, recently, the State Department of Public Instruction proclaimed a week of recognition for the adult crossing guards of Wisconsin. Good for them. And we reached out to one in their ranks, Rosie Hartung, an Eau Claire Street Sentinel for over 20 years, currently manning a busy intersection in the vicinity of Sam Davey Elementary School. Rosie, let's backtrack 20-plus years and find out how you decided to become a crossing guard.
I decided to become a crossing guard because I had done playground over at Locust Lane, and the job was eliminated. My sister was a crossing guard, and even the playground supervisor told me, she says, why don't you try crossing guard? So I did.
And you did. You decide to do it, and then what happens after that? What kind of training does a guard undergo?
They don't do it anymore, but we had to go to every single solitary corner and learn how to do every corner because each one is different.
Every corner at your school or
all over the city?
Oh, really?
But they don't do that anymore.
Oh, my. Because why? You could have been assigned to a different one?
Yes. I did not have an original corner. We started out as subs, and so we had to learn every corner so we knew what to expect at every corner.
who taught you? How did you learn? Because there is a choreography. It's like you have to follow certain procedures, yes?
We were taught by the crossing guard that was at that corner.
Talk about what it is you do. You're on the corner, and then you see some kids approach, is that right? And then it's your job to what? Look for an opening in the traffic, and if there isn't one, you have to literally walk out? What happens?
Yes, we watch for the traffic, but since I am on a four-way stop, and I do have three kid patrollers with me.
You do, okay.
I do. I have to watch the traffic on all four corners.
Hmm.
I look to see where there's an opening, and I go out. And sometimes I have to stop the traffic because the kids are told not to leave their corners till we motion them that everything is stopped and they are safe to cross. Occasionally, the cars are watching, not the kids, but other cars. So they will start out, and then I will have to yell at the patrollers, go back in, we will wait so we can get them across.
You don't have a whistle or anything, do you?
No.
I always wanted to be one of those kid crossing guards because they used to have a badge.
I never was allowed to go out as a kid because I came from a Catholic school. Catholic girls were not allowed standing on street corners in dresses.
Boy, those were the days.
Yeah, way back.
So let's talk about your intersection. Sam Davey Elementary School. What are the streets?
Star and Eddie.
Those are busy.
Those are busy. It's a four-way stop. Yeah. But I also, before that one, I have Western Avenue in the morning. For the middle school, high school.
Ah.
Because of the Holiday gas station there and because people are going towards North Star, towards North, towards the gas station. And then there's the bike trail. I do have that one too.
As I heard about the commemoration and then thought I should talk to someone about this, I realized how much we take you guys for granted. It appears to us that it's kind of a cushy job, but I'll tell you, some days the weather's less than perfect, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Right now, we've been having a little problem with ice.
Oh, yeah.
So we are required to wear cleats because the white lines in the road get very slick.
Oh, sure.
And sometimes the roads are slick, too. The kids are told, do not leave that corner till we're sure the cars have stopped because we don't want them sliding into you.
It's kind of like herding sheep, isn't it, across the...
At times, if you get a line.
They should stay between those lines.
They are to stay between the lines.
Yeah.
We have occasionally had them slip around the back of us, but we'd say, no, in between, not around the back.
Could there come a time when there would be too many kids on the corner and you'd have to split them up into smaller groups, or do you take any number of kids across?
We take any number of kids across.
Okay. All right. You are described, and rightly so, as an integral part of our school communities. And now you have the commemorative week. Now, we're a week late, so I should offer you a belated congratulations and thank you. Yes. Do you have a sense about those things, about how much of a member of the team you are? Do you feel like you're a member of the education process in Eau Claire?
Yes, I do. And I am very welcomed in the school. The kids will yell, say hi to me. I wander through the school every day.
Did they call you Rosie?
They call me Rosie, and that started out because I did playground duty over at Sam Davey, and the kindergartners kept calling me teacher, and I says, I'm not a teacher. Can you remember Mrs. Hartung? Little kids did not remember it. So then I said, well, can you remember Roseanne? No, they never remembered that. So it just came as Rosie. Some of these kids have seen me from the time they were really little.
Oh, I'm sure.
When they came across with their parents.
Yeah. You alluded earlier to the student patrollers. What grade do you have to be in before you can be one of those?
Fifth grade.
In the studio, enjoying a conversation immensely with Rosie Hartung. She is an Eau Claire crossing guard. She's been doing it for over 20 years. 1996, you started.
Yes.
I was reading a recent article that quoted crossing guards in Madison. And the article was about more and more people getting ticketed because drivers are getting more, here's the quote, impatient and distracted, unquote. Is that a bigger city phenomenon, or are you seeing that too?
I am seeing that too. They are watching the cars. They are not watching the kids. They are not watching the adults. A lot of times they're texting. I don't even want to go out unless they have eyeballed me. I could start out, have the other patroller come out, and they would all of a sudden decide to go, which they have done before.
One of the Madison crossing guards, another quote that he had was, close calls are happening way too often.
That's correct.
Is that happening to you too?
Yes. I have had to jump back a few times.
Now, what they do is they have to take license plates down of people who are kind of egregious in their disregard for the law.
We're supposed to, but because of my corner being so busy, a lot of times I'm more worried about the kids than I am trying to figure out a license plate.
An interesting fact I read was that 20% of all morning traffic is parents driving their kids to school. That's a national estimate. One out of every five cars is literally somebody driving their kids to school. Quoting now some laws that I read, this is the way we're supposed to do it. The guard is the first person in the street and the last person to leave. And most of us as drivers really aren't up to speed on the law. It says that motorists have to stop a minimum of 10 feet before the crosswalk.
They're supposed to, but they don't. They come right up.
Here's another thing I'll bet you they don't do it. They're not supposed to even proceed or move again until the crossing guard is back on the curb.
But they don't always do it. You'll be standing there and you'll be starting back and all of a sudden there's a car, you know, coming one way or the other.
Well, you have an important job. Any warm and fuzzy stories about people, young and old, showing appreciation? Do kids come up and say, Rosie, Merry Christmas and stuff like that?
I have even had high school kids that have graduated that have come back to see me.
Wow. So when you're on the corner, do you engage in conversation? Do you say,
how
some kids are more outgoing than others? And they'll say, hey, I'm doing this or that.
Yep, one kid. My dad's getting married.
No kidding.
Yeah, so.
Well, that's pretty cool.
I'll tell the kids, okay, please don't tell me until we get to the corner because we don't want you telling me out in the middle of the street because everybody's got to get across and the cars want to go. I also have problems with, occasionally, the driver's tests. Because mine is a corner where the driver's tests are being given.
Oh.
A couple times the kids have gone through the stop sign. Sometimes they don't.
I bet you they failed the test.
Yes. And sometimes they don't even see the kids out there.
So now what kind of equipment are you given when you become, is there a cone out in the very middle of the intersection?
We used to, but because of semis turning, we had to remove them because semis couldn't make it around the corners.
What do you carry that lets people know that you're out in the middle of the street?
I have a flag. Some of them have the stop sign.
The fluorescent yellow type?
Fluorescent green.
Green, it's called?
Green. And we have the green vest.
That's it?
That's it.
No flashers?
Nope. Yeah, I wear a yellow hat.
Yeah?
Because I do the morning and western where it's dark out. And the janitor just gave me the gloves that flash at the tips.
Well, there you go.
He says, I want to be sure you don't get hit down there.
So what time do you have to show up?
On Western Avenue, I have to be there by 6:45.
Yeah, it's
and
pretty
usually
dark,
by 20 after 7, we do have the middle school, high school down because they have to be to school at 20 to the hour.
And then
I have to go over to Sam Davey, and that one is from 8 to 9.
Now, it was at this point that we needed another perspective, I thought. So I invited Bill Giese, principal at Sam Davey Elementary School, to join the conversation.
Hello, Bill.
Hi, Rosie. I'll try to say nice things about you, like I said.
Okay, thanks.
Talk about the relationship between the building that you're in and the ones who make sure the kids get there safely.
Yeah, you bet. We rely on our adult crossing guards to make sure and ensure that kids are crossing that street safely. I could actually tell you specific instances where that crossing guard has potentially saved a child's life.
Hmm. Now, Rosie is wearing a Sam Davey sweatshirt. This was on my notes anyway, so I need to ask you, why the dolphin? What's the significance of a dolphin for Sam
Davey?
Well,
that's a really good question, and I don't know the answer to.
Do you know, Rosie?
It's the emblem that was picked out by the kids.
Maybe
how long
ago
was that, Rosie?
I'm not sure.
It might have been at the beginning.
There was a popular TV show about Flipper.
That could very well be the case.
That could have happened.
But we have not heard that. That's something I'll have to explore.
I'll let you, because you're on the phone with Rosie now, I'll let you thank her personally for the work she does for your kids.
Rosie, we really appreciate everything you do every morning. And, you know, Rosie, you've become almost an institution. Everyone who drives by here knows you and expects you on that corner. So there's tremendous respect from the community, the children, and the parents. Well, thank you for everything that you do. My own children enjoyed a really positive relationship with their crossing guard during their elementary years, and I think that's very common. That crossing guard almost becomes part of the family.
Well, parents put a lot of trust in the men and women who do it.
Exactly right.
Well, Bill Giese, you're a busy guy as a principal of an elementary school. Thanks for spending time with Rosie, and congratulations on the work you do, and keep up the great work as this wonderful team, members of which both you and Rosie are.
Thanks a lot, Al. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Rosie. Have a good day.
See you later.
In the corner this afternoon.
I will.
All right. Take care.
So what is the Rosie Hartung Crossing Guard career going to do? Is it going to continue? Can a person do this forever?
We can do it as long as we're capable or feel we are able.
Rosie, thanks so much. Nice job. Way to go. I mean, where would we be without people like you? I think you're marvelous. Is there a Crossing Guard Hall of Fame somewhere?
No.
I think there should be.
No, I don't.
Oh, I do, and I'm going to nominate you.
But Sam Davey has started a Rosie Hartung Award.
Good deal.
And it is given to a fifth grader who has shown responsibility. Their grades have gone up.
Neat.
And they have suggested different things to try. And the first girl got it last year.
Do you get to present it?
I got to present it.
How neat is that? You are a celebrity.
I guess so.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Wow, huh? Rosie Hartung, one of the many women and men who stand on the corner through all kinds of weather, making sure the next generation gets where they're going safely. And thanks again to Bill Giese, principal, Sam Davey Elementary School, for his leadership and friendship as well. Couple of Spectrum memoranda for you. There's a Friends of the Library mini sale at the L.E. Phillips Library in Eau Claire Friday and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. each day. Over 5,000, as they say, gently used children's and youth or young adult books will be for sale. Information online at ecpubliclibrary.info. An exhibit entitled Approaching the Mystery with artwork by Cameron Anderson is open at that same library, L.E. Phillips Memorial Public Library in Eau Claire. That's open through February 8th. I gave you the website already, didn't I? All right. Well, thanks, Allison, the new fresh face of promotion, for helping us out here on Spectrum West. Thanks to Debbie, Dean, and you guys out there in Radio Land as well. Coming up next week, still putting it together, we will have the music of Ellis. She's pretty cool, and more, on Spectrum West. I'm Al Ross for Jim Oliver. Thanks, and we'll see you again next week.